Hey there, folks, and welcome to another episode of Eddie and His Amazing Friends, the Hero Cast. Just a solo tonight, as I'm pretty sure I mentioned last week. I had a friend on that I was going to bring on, but he's been on before, but it's currently in the process of moving. Actually, we were supposed to do something tonight, but then that got moved to tomorrow, and then it's going to be also Friday, but whatever, nobody cares about that. Because we are here to talk about Thor, Love and Thunder, episode, 196. 196. We're getting awfully close to 200. So, yeah, that's something. Don't mind the chewing sound in the background. That's just the dog. But better that than barking, right? So anyway, yeah, we're at Thor, Love and Thunder. That came out July 8th, 2022. Let's look in the old time capsule for this one. Number one song was Jimmy Cook's by Drake and 21 Savage. The Champions, of course, WWE and Universal, Roman, we know that. NXT, Braun Breaker. World's Women's Champion, Liv Morgan. WWE Women's Champion, Bianca Belair. NXT Women's Champion, Mandy Rose. AEW, Jon Moxley. AEW Women, Thunder Rosa. And IWGP Heavyweight Champ, Jay White. So, there you go. What was I up to? Well, I'll tell you what I was up to. It was a couple days after the 4th of July. So, the old Red, White, and Boom, the fireworks display in Columbus, was back. Took a 2-year hiatus. Don't know why it needed to take 2 years. I feel like by 2021 we were fine, but whatever. It's all in the past. I'm not here to debate it. So yeah, it's back. It was after 2 years. It was good. It was good. Yeah, I got my years confused. I was thinking of last year. Last year's was kind of disappointing, and that was, of course, as you may remember, that was the fake mass shooting. That was the fake mass shooting I took a video of, and some news station was like, can we use it? And I'm like, you can, but it turns out it was a hoax. Nobody had a gun, so I don't know what kind of story that is. But yeah, it's always fun when you see like 1,000 people running at you. but yeah, no mass shooting or rumored mass shooting or fake mass shooting at this one, so hopefully none this coming year, too. That would be nice. You know, that would just be nice. So, yeah. The facts and figures for Thor, Love, and Thunder. Budget. Man, this is yet another example. But budget, $250 million, box office, $760.9 million. So, again, I can't say they're superhero fatigue. $760.9 million. That's a really good box office. The problem with these damn movies is they are so expensive to make. So, on our list, puts it at 37, $510.9 million, minus the marketing, which, you know we don't have access to that. The inflation, that's $538.4 million. It is right below Doctor Strange. Not the one we did last week, the first one. And right above The Amazing Spider-Man 2. So, there you go. I would say that's, again, it's a lot of, if they could get these movies without such a big budget, you know. But again, it'll be interesting to see with when the superhero fatigue starts to come in. At least with Marvel. DC, DC is already, like, kind of, I think it was actually around this time, maybe a month or two from now, when DC officially shifts to James Gunn, and it's like, none of this stuff matters. So, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see when Marvel starts to take a hit, because, again, last week's, you know, Doctor Strange 2 had a really big box office. It cost a lot to make. That's the problem. But Thor, Love, and Thunder, $760 million. That's a really good number. Unfortunately, it costs a lot to make, so digs into your profit a little bit. But still, at the end of the day, $760, that's a strong number, so can't say there's superhero fatigue just yet. Yet. So, critics on Rotten Tomatoes gave this a 63%, fans 76%. Also, be sure to follow on Twitter at EC_hero or myself at EC85. It's Eddie with a Y. Also the same handle on Instagram, or our page's Instagram, EC Hero Cast. That way you'll never miss a show and you'll get reminders and the occasional, if I see something in public of a superhero, then I'll take a photo of it. I haven't done that in a while, but I also haven't seen anything publicly like that in a while. So, anyway, let us... Oh, history with the movie. Yeah. Saw it once in theater, and saw it twice now, here on Disney Plus. So, man, oh man. We've got a couple people to talk about with the cast. I'm going to save Christian Bale, Gore the God Butcher. I'm going to save him to the end. All I will say, I thought Christian Bale did a really good job with what he was given. As far as what he was given, I'll get to at the end. We have Natalie Portman as Jane Foster. This was a different role for her. She got to upgrade to just some scientist slash... She was never really a damsel in distress, but you know, she didn't have any powers. But now she does. And, you know, I thought it was pretty good, you know? I think it was, it was something new for the character. You know, like, they broke up, and they went into a lot of detail about that. But it gave, you know, her character new life. So that was, and then her life ended, but I thought it was good. I thought she did a nice job as a superhero. It was pretty cool seeing two Thors, you know? And you know, she did really good. I liked it. Valkyrie was there. That was, Tessa Thompson. She did good. The character is just kind of like I don't know. There's not a whole lot of depth to Valkyrie. I mean, they mention... I mean, I'm looking here on the Wikipedia page. They talk about they dove into the character's bisexuality. I wouldn't say they really dove into it or... I mean, it says they addressed it, yeah. I mean, they had the scene where they mentioned that she was in a relationship with another woman who's dead, and then also when Thor gets naked, she's infatuated with that. So, that's fine, I guess, if you're... That stuff is important to you. It was fine for me. We had the voice of Korg, played by the director, Taika Waititi. He's got a great voice for this character, I will say. I'm a big fan of Korg. If Korg returns, I know Taika Waititi said he's not going to direct any more Thors. People seem to be happy with that. I hope he still is the voice of Korg. He's got to be, right? I mean, come on. Let's see, we have Russell Crowe as Zeus. Some people did not like this portrayal of Zeus. I was fine with it. I was fine with it because... I mean... Zeus is definitely... I mean, I've watched... I'm pretty into the Greek mythology. Zeus... I mean... I think it's a fair portrayal of him. I mean, first off, he's not real, so it's like you can kind of portray him however you want. But I like this portrayal because the one thing that all the Zeuses have in common, Zeus loves the ladies, and Zeus loves to party. That's kind of the thing with all the Greek gods. They really dove into that one in this movie. It seems like they're going to take a darker tone in Thor 5 whenever that comes out. But, yeah. That's, you know, that's the deal. So, let's see. Oh, of course, Chris Hemsworth as Thor. I mean, look, you know, at this point, what more can you really say? I thought he did a nice job. He always does. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know what else to say. You know, it's like he's Thor. He just I don't really have anything different to say about Thor in this movie than I did the other three movies or other multiple movies that he's been in. So yeah, it's fine, I guess. So. Let's dive into the plot, right? So that's what we're really here for. So, take a sip. We open, and I love this opening, by the way. I really love this opening. This opening might be the best part in the movie. We open with Gore wandering the desert and praying for help for his god, because he and his daughter, they don't appear well. They're dying of thirst, you know. His daughter ends up passing away. So after he buries her, Gore wanders into this oasis. He starts eating the fruits and drinking the water. And he finds the god Rapu, whatever. Who kind of mocks him. He's like, oh, you're one of mine. And he asks him for help. And at this point, Rapu mentions, I have this god-killing sword, the Necro Sword, which calls to Gore. And after Rapu tries to kill him, Gore uses the sword, kills him, and despite being told the sword is cursed, Gore makes a vow that all gods will die. And that is the origin of Gore, the God Butcher. I thought that was really effective. I thought that was very well done. So, Korg then recites the story of Thor. Over the previous movies, Thor has been teaming up with the Guardians of the Galaxy, and they needed his help to win this battle after this sacred temple was taken over when their god was killed. We assume Gore. Of course, Thor nearly wins the battle single-handedly. Of course, he shows off a bit of... he shows off a bit and accidentally destroys their temple, but oh well. Back on Earth, Jane Foster is going through chemo, but back at the lab, she starts reading a book about Norse magic for a possible cure. Back in New Asgard, it is now a bit of a tourist trap town. There's the Infinity Cones, an ice cream shop, with the Infinity Gauntlet as the logo. It was humorous, but it's like that thing, the Infinity Gauntlet. I mean, that did bring about a mass genocide of half the people on Earth. I don't know if that's something that would make a real whimsical ice cream store gimmick, but I guess all the people are back now, so it's fine. They have a cheesy play about Thor, Loki, and Hela. Hela's played by Melissa McCarthy. Along with Luke Hemsworth, he's in there, Sam Neill, and the podcast debut of Matt Damon. I did not think I would see Matt Damon on this podcast, but there he is. He's in the movie. So Thor's hammer, Mjolnir, is on display. Well, the pieces of it are on display, and Jane is there watching over it. This was a missed opportunity. We don't actually see her take the hammer. We see it. She's already has it. I would have liked to have seen... That's one of the complaints of this movie. This movie's only 2 hours long. It's like, this is Thor. He's built up enough equity. The audience is fine if it goes 15 minutes more. This is not Eternals, where we don't know who these people are, and you make a 2.5-hour movie. Thor is fine to go 2 hours, 15, even 20, maybe even 30 minutes, depending on what you leave out. According to Christian Bale, they left out a lot of gold. That's what he said. A lot of gold on the cutting room floor. But So back with Thor, he's gifted two screaming goats as a gift. The Guardians receive a distress call over all the gods being killed. Thor decides he needs to help, and the Guardians decide to go their separate ways, and they'll fly off to their next movie. And I did like when Thor gifts Star-Lord his own ship. That was funny, because Thor just assumed command, and he's like, I'll give you this ship. It's like, oh, you're giving me my own ship. Thanks. There was... Well, I'll get to that later. So they go their separate ways. Thor makes it seem like it was his idea that they were going to go their separate ways, but the Guardians were kind of tired of him. So Thor, Korg, and the goats go off to where the distress call was from. And Thor's friend Sif is there. Sif is dying and warns him of Gorr, the God Butcher, and that Asgard is next. Back on Earth, Gorr uses the Necro Sword to create shadow monsters to attack the city. Thor shows up, and Valkyrie, they fight off the monsters along with someone else, but we don't see who. And turns out, it's whoever this person is wielding the hammer Mjolnir. Mjolnir. I can never pronounce this one. I don't know why. The hammer, okay? Mjolnir, okay. Of course, it is Jane Foster in the Thor outfit. Looks pretty cool, by the way. It's a good look. It's a good look. Korr gives a history lesson on Thor and Jane, and he mentions how Thor told Mjolnir to always protect her. And that was kind of the thing. It's like, oh, she needs protection, the magic of his words, whatever. So after that, Thor spots Gorr, and he goes after him. The two fight, some until Gorr retreats, but in doing so... the shadow monsters, they kidnap all the children from Asgard. And Thor has a meeting in the town hall, and this is where we get our first time he tries to summon his hammer, but he gets the axe Stormbreaker instead. It's a running gag. It's okay. So Thor is then contacted by Astrid, or Axel, whichever. He calls himself Axel now. He is the son of Heimdall. We do get the weird CGI head that you always see in, like, examples of bad Marvel CGI. I gotta say, rewatching it, I've seen worse on Marvel, so I don't know why this scene gets, like, so criticized. It's not good, but it's like, meh. It's not that offensive to me. Again, I've seen worse, but... So, yeah, he gets the CGI head, and he shows Thor where they are. He figures out where the kids are, the Shadow Realm, but Thor realizes he won't be able to defeat Gorr there, so he may need to recruit an army. I will say this was one of my problems with the movie. This, the way that Heimdall's son, Axel, is able to, like, beam in Thor to, like, be where they are, but just, like, a hologram, essentially. I thought that was cheap. I thought that was, like, a real super convenient, you know? Like, I didn't like that. So, as they prepare to ship out, Jane tells Thor how she got her powers, which is basically she heard Mjolnir talk to her and she just took them. So the goats pull the boat across the galaxy to Omnipotence City. So they visit this huge temple full of all the gods. In comes the leader of the gods. It's Zeus. Zeus isn't really talking about Gorr, he's more worried about orgies. So Thor speaks out, asking for an army to fight Gorr, and Zeus isn't that impressed. And he's like, yeah, I've heard of him. I mean, he killed some low-level gods. Who cares? We're not worried. As long as we're here, we're safe. So Zeus then detains him. This is where he flicks the clothes off, and all the women go crazy. Thor says he's afraid, and then Zeus privately tells Thor that, yeah, I'm scared too because he has the Necro Sword and that'll kill gods, and I'm a god, so that could kill me. But, you know, because again, he's like, well, we're all safe here, so who cares? So Thor asks for the Thunderbolt since he isn't willing to help, and Zeus tells him no. Zeus says, Gore will not reach eternity. And Valkyrie explains to Jane what eternity is. It's a great power in the center of the universe, and it will grant you a wish. So Zeus says, Gore doesn't have the key to get there anyway. And Zeus has the guards arrest Thor, but Jane, Valkyrie, and Korg fight them off. Zeus then fires his thunderbolt, hits Korg, breaking him apart. Thor then catches the thunderbolt, throws it back at Zeus, hitting him in the chest. Korg's face, by the way, survived. Turns out, as long as his face is alive, that he is alive. So that's good. So they whistle and summon the ship. They grab the thunderbolt and leave. Cut to Thor visiting the kids through the vision again. He tells them to be brave, but Valkyrie's messing with them during this. And I'll more on that later. Anyway, Valkyrie points out they don't have a plan. They don't even have an army like they wanted. And Thor's like, no, the Thunderbolt is the army. And then he makes up to Stormbreaker for saying that. So Korg then explains to Valkyrie how his people mate. It's when they find someone they want to spend their life with, they go into a volcano and hold hands for a month. And the baby is born, I guess. Korg said he has two dads, and he said he also had a husband. I kind of got the impression, I don't know much about the Korg people, the ninny nannies or whatever they're called, but I kind of got the impression that the whole race is male, like kind of how, Wonder Woman, all the Amazonians are female. I feel like the Korg people are all male. I don't know. It seems... That's how I took it. Not that it matters. And then this is where Valkyrie mentions that she had a girlfriend or wife or something, and then that person's dead. So anyway, back on the deck of the ship. By the way, that all very much offended me, and Disney needs to stop with this woke crap. No, I'm kidding. It's just like, you watch that scene, you're like, why do people get upset about this? Like, these people aren't even real, so... Anyway, back on the deck of the ship, Thor confesses his love to Jane, and she tells him that she has cancer. She just kind of blurts it out, and of course Thor is really concerned, but then they do end up sharing a kiss as they enter the Shadow Realm. So Jane discovers Stormbreaker is the key, and this was a trap, so Jane tosses it off the planet. Gore traps all of them and figures out Jane is dying and says... Yeah, it's just as the sword empowered me, the hammer empowers you. So Gore, he's strangling, well, not he, but his shadow vines or whatever they are. They're strangling Valkyrie and Jane. And Gore's telling him, hey, call the Stormbreaker. And Thor's like, oh, you gotta call a dentist. And I'm saying these for a reason. Just wait. So... He's choking him. He eventually calls Stormbreaker. The axe comes in. It breaks him free when it comes in. A little convenient. And then Thor and Gore fight as Jane and Valkyrie fight the shadow monsters. Gore ends up stabbing Valkyrie, and Thor and Jane, they grabbed her. They retreat, but not before Gore gets the axe as they teleport away. So, back on Earth, Jane's in the hospital. Thor says the hammer is killing you, and when you use it, it drains you of your life. She agrees to stay back as Thor is armed with the Thunderbolt and goes after Gore, who has made it to Eternity, or at least, like, the front door. So, Thor supercharges. He gets up there. The kids are all there. He gives them a pep talk. He supercharges the kids with the Thunderbolt, I guess. So they can fight all the shadow monsters. They picked up all these random weapons like rocks, and one girl had a stuffed animal, and So back on Earth, Mjolnir comes to Jane as she meets Thor at Eternity, And together the two fight. They fight Gore and work close, and they work to close, I should say, the portal to eternity, which they does. Well, he gets Stormbreaker out, but the port is still open. But he at least retrieved Stormbreaker. He tosses that to Axel, who teleports the kids home. Thor grips the Necroblade with the Thunderbolt. He kind of locks it into place as Jane throws the hammer, shattering the Necro Sword. And, but Gore, you know, the portal's still open, like I said. So Gore just kind of crawls through. He reached Eternity. And this was all kind of clunky. But Thor tells Gore he's after love and, you know, wish whatever you want. He was probably going to wish for all gods to die. Although, he seemed to be doing a good job killing them. I don't... His plan didn't make a whole lot of sense. But Thor is just like, you won. I'm going to go spend my last moments with Jane. But, you know, you could wish to just bring your daughter back. And... he does. That is what he wishes. So, Gore says that he's dying and that she'll be alone. Jane says, no, he won't be alone. They look at Thor. So, Gore makes the wish. Like I said, he brings his daughter back. Gore then dies because without the sword, you know, it was powering him. That was the whole deal with the sword. So, Jane also dies without the hammer in her possession. So, Korg then tells the story of Jane and how the kids are safe. Taking self-defense classes now. Korg has a new body. He and Dwayne, which is very funny, they had a kid. They did the hold hands thing in the volcano. And Thor has now adopted the daughter of Gore. And they apparently fight the good fight for those who can't fight good. And that is it. Roll credits. But mid-credit scene. So Zeus is getting patched up. And he asks, when did we become a joke? And Zeus says, you know, they will fear us again. Then he asks, do you understand, Hercules? Do you understand, my son? Cut to Hercules, played by Brett Goldstein, who says, yes, father. We get a post-credit scene. Jane enters Valhalla, sees Heimdall. He thanks her for taking care of his son, and then welcomes her to Valhalla. And that is Thor, Love and Thunder. Now, I did something for this movie that I have not, I don't think I've ever done for a non-DVD movie or Blu-ray. I looked up deleted scenes. I was very curious about all this supposed gold that was left on the cutting room floor. And apparently it really was left on the cutting room floor because there is no deleted scenes that I found that feature gore. It's just extended scenes of Thor and Jane in the hospital. Zeus shows up, which is weird. He talks to Thor and teaches him how to use the Thunderbolt, which was a very... It's like, thank God they deleted this, because this makes no sense. Like, Thor throws the Thunderbolt and hits you. You think Zeus is dead, but we know better. And then, like, the end credit scene, or the mid-credit scene, Zeus is basically like, hey, Hercules, go kill Thor. So why would they think and to even film this of like Zeus being friendly with Thor? That made zero sense. So yeah, glad they got rid of that one. There's extended scene of Thor talking to the people at the temple at the beginning of the movie. A couple extended scenes with the Guardians. Nothing that special though. I was looking for something with gore, and there was nothing. So. Here's the deal. I did some research, because I'll tell you this. The reason I wanted to get my friend Mike on, he really hated this movie. Now, to be fair, Eli, who's also been on the podcast, he loved the movie. He said, he's told me, he's like, I wish there was more goofy comedy in this. Like, not less, more. So, it hit with some people. So, but yeah, Mike hated it. And I would, in a perfect world, I would love to have both on, and then they could just, you know, battle it out. That would have been fun, but the schedule just did not allow that. But, yeah, I mean, okay, let me Okay, actually, let me get to this, what I was going to say. Yeah, no additional gore stuff. There was an interview where Christian Bale explains at the beginning of the movie because Gore is tattooed because he's religious. And later in the movie, his tattoos are gone, and where they were, there are now scars. So there was apparently a scene where he cut off his tattoos, and Christian Bale said that was too extreme for the film. Which I don't... I mean, maybe, but I feel like you could cut away and make that work. Apparently not. There's also talk that there was, like, Gore gonna go kill... was Peter Dinklage's character from Infinity War. He was gonna kill Jeff Goldblum's character from Thor Ragnarok. And they were gonna have a new god, played by Lena Headey from Game of Thrones, playing some goddess. And he was gonna kill her. And, yeah... None of that, again, it's like none of that happened. He killed the one god at the beginning, and then they showed dead gods on the screen with the Guardians and with Sif. There's this big mountain lion thingy that I forget his name, but it's like they killed him. But, you know, show, don't tell. You know, show what happened, I should say. So, time to rate the movie. And I said I would get into a lot of this later. This is later. So, I'll start with the positives. There was a lot of comedy in this movie, and it did work for me. Most of it. So, there was a lot of times I did laugh at this movie. There was a lot. Chris Hemsworth's a very funny guy. I thought him and the Guardians stuff was good at the beginning. I thought a lot of Korg stuff was very funny. There was a lot of good comedy that landed for me. And I think with Taika Waititi, while there were a lot of people who did think that Ragnarok had too much comedy, I think Ragnarok was mostly praised. So he did the old thing of the directors do sometimes of, oh, you liked it? Let me give you more of that. And it's like, I thought Ragnarok had just enough comedy. I didn't think it needed any more. I didn't think it needed any less. This movie is more. And while a lot of it hit for me, there were some that didn't. I'll get to in the negatives. So there's that. Overall, I thought the movie looked really nice. I know the CGI floating head people didn't like. But like in the Shadow Realm, I thought that looked pretty cool. I thought the Mount Olympus stuff. I thought that was pretty cool and very colorful, very vibrant. So, you know, overall, I liked those things. Again, I thought the actors did well. I thought Christian Bale did well with what he was given. Jane Foster, we got a nice conclusion to that character. RIP to a real one, by the way. I thought the opening scene with the origin of Gore was really cool. So there were some good things about this movie. But there is some bad, and I'll talk about the comedy first. So, I mentioned there was too much of it, and when the movie needed to get serious, it did not. There was the scene where Thor's talking to the kids, and Valkyrie's messing with him, waving her hair in his face, so he's swatting his nose, or itching his nose, whatever. And it's like, maybe when you're trying to comfort kids who think they might die, maybe it's not the time to be jokey, you know? Or when you're watching your ex-girlfriend who you just admitted you loved get choked to death, maybe not the time to be like, oh, you should see a dentist. You know, like, learn when to be serious. And to me, the movie never did that. It was like, let's joke throughout the whole movie, and there was no moments of seriousness. The other thing, it's gore. Like, I did some research, okay? Because people were upset that I don't know anything about gore. So I looked into them. I can see why people were upset. This is a big-time villain. He's not super popular. Like, he's not well-known, right? Like, I had the same rant about Carnage from Venom 2. And it's like, Carnage is way more well-known than Gore, right? But same idea, where it's like, this is a really strong villain, and he just felt like he was just there. You know, like, this should be a villain. Think about this. Whenever Marvel's done wrapping up everything, you and your friends, you're like, man, What was your favorite villain from all those Marvel movies, right? Other than Thanos, because, I mean, Thanos will probably be number one for most people. I feel like Gore should be up there. Like, there was potential for this to be a really great villain, and it just, it wasn't. And the other thing, it's like, you had Christian Bale, man. I know he wasn't, I know that Dark Knight was not in the DCU. I know that, but what role do you associate Christian Bale with? Like, 9 out of 10 people are going to say Batman. The other person might say American Psycho. But everybody's going to say, oh, yeah, that's Bruce Wayne. Oh, yeah, that's Christian Bale. He's Bruce Wayne, Batman. Doesn't it feel like, if you're Marvel, when you cast him, doesn't it feel like, hey, we stole one of theirs, right? Again, I know he's not DCU, rather, but it's like, it still felt like a big get. You know, it's like Marvel took one of the biggest actors in a DC movie, arguably the biggest, because, I mean, you look at the movies this century, what DC movie has been bigger than the Dark Knight trilogy? None. You know, so it's like you were able to grab one of DC's big time actors, maybe the biggest of this, you know, this century, and it should have felt like, you know, Hollywood Hogan in WCW, you know, when he jumped ship, or more recently Cody Rhodes in WWE. Yes, I'm using a wrestling analogy because that's what I know, but instead it just felt like Bret Hart in WCW or Big Van Vader in WWF. It's like, this should work. This should be cool. Why isn't it? It's just not working. And Christian Bale's right. Like, they left too much out. You know, he's the God Butcher. Show us, the audience, him butchering gods. He killed one on screen, and he was not a guy any one of us knew. Like, you show Jeff Goldblum's kid. Oh, yeah, I remember him from Thor Ragnarok. He kills him. Okay, Peter Dinklage's character. Infinity War. Oh, yeah, I remember him. Thor killed Alina Headley. Yeah, I know her. She's from Game of Thrones. Oh, she must be this. Kill her. Like, show me that. I think this movie becomes much, much better. Like, there were, like, you could tell Christian Bale really wanted this character to be like nightmare fuel. But they just did not give him that opportunity. You know? And the kidnapping of the kids, I don't know. It just, that was not a super strong plot. I mean, yeah, it's very evil and diabolical, but, like, I don't know, it's also very fairy tale-ish, right? Like, and then the shadow monster kidnapped all the kids, and then it was up to Santa Claus to come and save, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just, you know, the shadow monster kidnapping the village, the children of the village, you know? Like, maybe if you would have just kidnapped Heimdall's son, that might have been a little better, but, like, just kidnapping all the kids from their beds, it just sounds like a fairy tale. Like, oh, and then there's Gore. He'll sneak into your room and he'll get his shadow monsters to kidnap you if you're not good, little boys and girls. You know, like, that's kind of what it reminds me of. And that's not what you should be going for when you should be this big-time, super scary villain. So, credit to Christian Bale. He's a great actor. He did what he could. But I just feel like they left so much out. You know, people talk about a director's cut of this movie. I don't think we'll ever get it. But, man, I feel like if there were, this movie could be like an 8.5 or 9. Maybe a little tweaking of the plot here and there, but I really feel like there was potential for this. And it just sucks because, like, this should have been a really great villain. And instead, the movie was just fine, you know? It's just fine. I probably liked it more than a lot of people. I know if Mike were here, he'd probably give it 3 or 4. And if Eli were here, he'd probably give it a 9 or 10. But I'm probably closer to liking it. But knowing what this could have been, it is kind of disappointing. And, you know, like I said, I know a lot of people hated the comedy. I even liked the comedy, but there were times when the comedy was a bit too much. So, and then with Gore should have been an all-time great Marvel villain. And instead, well, he's not going to be the level of Core from Eternals, completely forgettable. Or, oh gosh, who's another really forgettable villain? Jude Law from Captain Marvel. Like, he's not going to be that low. But I think he's going to be in, like, you know, what was it? Whipmaster from Iron Man 2. You know, like, that level. Where it's like, yeah, he was okay. But I don't really think much about him. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, that was a villain, and he was fine, and, you know, he was played by Mickey Rourke, another good actor, but I don't really think much about, you know, Whipmaster, so, like, that's kind of probably where I would put him, you know, and it also sucks, one other thing, like, this should have been, how should I put this? Gore felt more like a transitional villain. And it felt like the end game of this movie was like, we really want to get to Hercules. Like, that's really who we want. And Gore is just a filler. And I don't love that, knowing what Gore can do and doing some research on Gore. I don't love it. However, you can have a filler villain who's really good. See Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio. Mysterio was largely a filler villain, right? Like, the whole point of that movie was to get to the villain revealing that Spider-Man is Peter Parker, right? It didn't really matter who the villain was for that. They just chose Mysterio. He was a means to an end. Whereas Gore, it's like, okay, Gore is a means to an end. Gore is a means for Thor to get a daughter / get Zeus mad at Thor to where his son Hercules can be the next villain. Fine. But Gore, in the meantime, could be really cool. Instead, he's just there, you know? And it's disappointing. So, having said all of that, I'm going to give this movie, Thor, Love and Thunder, I'm going to give it a 6.5. It should have been better. You know, it just should have been better. I wanted it to be better. It could have been better. A lot of things hit for me, but there were some misses. So, yeah, that is unfortunate. But, you know, it's all good. Next week. We get into the first of two movies this year, starring a very person who's prominently in the news right now, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Well, the wrestling news. But, yeah, it is DC League of Super Pets. So, I don't think this is going to be DCU canon, but, yeah, it's on Max. Fire it up. Give it a watch. No guest plan. Maybe I'll ask, maybe I'll show the movie to my dog Sully and see if he enjoys it. So we'll give that a try. Anyway, let us get out of here on a quote, of course, from the mighty Zeus. If you don't shut up, you won't be invited to the orgy.